Hello friends, to continue with the customs procedures, we saw first what were the trade facilitation measures given by the customs department, understanding the customs department. Then we saw the method and the types of government revenue, that is customs duties, which are being assessed and collected by the customs department. Now, we next go on to the actual clearance procedure. That is how import-export consignments are cleared through the customs department. And for this, we are now looking at chapter number 6 of the import-export management regulatory features. When we want to look at the customs clearance, first of all, we have got to understand what is a customs area. How do we define the customs area and what are the basics and controls in that particular customs area? A customs area is a place appointed or licensed by the CBIC, that is Central Board of Indirect Taxes and Customs, or Commissioner of Customs of that particular area where it is appointed or licensed. It may be a port, it may be an airport, it may be a dry port, that is ICD, CFS, air freight stations, they are all dry ports. Or it can also be a custom bonded warehouse, which are normally called as customs bonding of goods. All activities related to the clearance of goods, that is import-export goods, whether they are for home consumption, clearance for here import consignments, or for warehousing, or temporary admission, temporary storage, or re-export, or onward transit, or outright exports or transshipments. These are all various factors of the clearance procedures. And these activities take place at such stations only. It cannot take place at any other place. Operator is the custodian of all import-export cargo pending custom clearance for release. That is, the operator or owner or the warehouse keeper of that particular customs area, which is licensed, becomes responsible. He takes over charge as the custodian of all the import-export cargo which are pending for custom clearance for release. When we look at ICD, CFS and AFS, that is internal container depots, container freight stations, air freight stations, these are all customs area outside the international port or airport, away in various other cities, are quite a distance away from the actual international port or airport. And this is because the development of multimodal transport system, which has laid stress on greater facilitation to importers, exporters, inland container depots, container freight stations or air freight stations, were developed as dry ports. That means there's no water around those places, but they are declared as customs area for clearance purposes. They may be defined as a common user public facility with an authority status. They have got full authority status. Equipped with fixed installations and offering services for handling and temporary storage of import-export cargo, as also for empty containers and for carriage and transit by any applicable mode of transport placed under the customs control. That means the entire area, all the facilities are placed under the customs control. All the activities related to clearance of goods for home consumption, warehousing, re-export, temporary storage for onward transit or transshipment takes place from such stations only. It basically means that apart from international ports and airports being customs area, all these other areas which are internal areas in various cities throughout India, they are also customs area, and all these activities of custom clearance takes place from such customs stations. Let us look at the difference between the three. ICD is a place where containers are aggregated for onward movement to or from the ports. That means airport and mainly it is the ports. Mainly containers, full container loads are placed for aggregation. A CFS, container freight station, or AFS, air freight station, is a place where containers are stuffed, unstuffed, and clearance of containerized cargo. That means containers are brought into these areas, maybe sea containers, maybe air containers also. Air cargo is also moving in containers which are known as ULDs, unit load devices, equipped for being fixed onto the aeroplanes. Such containers are brought to these places. They are unstuffed. Import cargo is taken out from the containers, moved out to this warehouse for storage, and then export cargo stuffed into the same containers for movement to the ICDs and the respective gateway ports. The main function of the ICD, AFS, CFS is receipt, dispatch, and clearance of containerized cargo. That means as of today, all cargo movements are containerized cargo. Bulk movement does not take place from these places at all, because bulk cargo will go directly to the seaport for being loaded on a direct method onto the bulk cargo ships. Each functional unit of the facility, that is siding, container yard, gate, stuffing, de-stuffing area, etc., they all have up-to-date and online information about all the containers, etc. That means total system is online through computers. This is required to meet all the requirements of the customers, the administration, railways, etc. Because container cargo moves through the ICD, CFS by railways, by transport trucking also, and sometimes by inland waterways also. Nowadays, inland waterway system is being used. Like cargo moving from Hooghly in Kolkata right up to Varanasi and Allahabad, it moves via the Ganga River by the inland waterways. So they are all the people who move the cargo, and all under customs control. Apart from clearance being allowed in such customs area, manufacturing facilities are also allowed in a customs bonded warehouse. Of course, there is a subjective condition that the manufacturing activities are required for the purpose of export only. That basically means the exporters, manufacturer exporters, can bring in goods into those custom bonded warehouse without payment of customs duty, perform the manufacturing and processing operations, and re-export the goods from those particular facilities. And here there is a special regulation which are required to be followed by all types of manufacturers. Normally they are export-oriented units or free trade zones, etc. The regulation which they are required to follow is Manufacture and Other Operations in Special Warehouse Regulations of 2020. This is required to be followed by them. Now, we will not go into each and every part of the regulation, but just a nutshell, summarized version of what is required to be done by the warehouse keeper or the custodian as far as the regulation is concerned, or the licensee who has been granted the customs bonding area. They are required to perform the function. A person who has been granted a license, that is under Section 58A of the Customs Act, for warehousing purpose of only specified goods with special warehousing licensing regulations, they are eligible. The Principal Commissioner of Customs, after due verification of any application made and checking the premises, etc., etc., safety factors, may grant permission to such plants or units to operate as a special warehouse, custom bonded warehouse. The person will be allowed to manufacture goods along with all incidental operations for export of goods without payment of any duties, whether imported goods, import duty, locally procured goods without payment of GST, goods and service tax. No duty is required to be paid at all. Why? Because those goods are meant for export only. And then subsequently, when they are exported, as a corollary, no drawback or incentives are granted to such goods, because no duty is paid, so nothing to be given back to the exporters. The permission which is being granted is subject to certain conditions. There are certain basic minimum conditions. That is, the license holder who becomes the owner, he has got to appoint a warehouse keeper who has sufficient experience in warehousing operations and customs procedures. He should know all the warehouse operations on the one side and the customs procedures involved on the other side. So that is a technical, experienced professional who has got to be appointed by the license holder. He has also to provide certain other facilities, equipments and personnel which are sufficient to control access to the warehouse. Provide secure storage. Mind you, secure storage is a very compulsory aspect of all the goods which are in their custody, and ensure total compliance of all the requirements under the Customs Act. The warehouse keeper has got to ensure that all the dutiable goods are stored in the strong room, There is a special room which is known as strong rooms, where all high duty paid goods are required to be kept, but no duty has been paid. Or removed from there, when they are stored in those rooms or removed from those rooms, there has got to be a customs officer who is present. This activity has got to take place under the presence of the customs officer who has been assigned duty at that particular custom bonded warehouse. This is a compulsory requirement. And again, as a means of transportation of the goods, it has got to be done securely with a one-time lock by authorized carriers only. Now, what is one-time lock details and authorized carriers? I'll explain to you in the subsequent chapters. He shall receive and permit unloading of all goods in the presence of a customs officer. Always customs officers are appointed, are placed at respective of customs bonded warehouses. He shall transfer, remove for home consumption or export any goods with the permission and in the presence of the customs officer only. This is the primary requirement. Apart from this, the warehouse keeper has got to maintain all detailed records of the receipt, handling, storing, and removal of any goods into the warehouse or from the warehouse going out. He has got to maintain detailed record. And apart from that, he has got to record all activities immediately and store the data electronically for a period of 5 years. This data has got to be stored electronically and for 5 years. He has also got to ensure that the electronic as well as manual record, that's copies, hard copies of any documents, etc., etc., permits, any other document which is required, are kept updated on a day-to-day basis, mind you, accurate and complete. And they are made available at the warehouse itself, not removed anywhere else, to the customs officer for verification as and when required by any officer of customs deputed for that purpose, including audit. When we start importer-exporter, before he actually starts clearance of his import-export consignment, the very first consignment, he has got to first apply for registration with the customs ICEGATE. It is also known as AD code registration or bank detail registration, authorized dealers of foreign exchange, that is banks, have got to be registered with the customs department. The importer-exporters, first of all, have to obtain import-exporter code, PAN-based business identification number. Today, the recent importer-exporter codes which are being issued online by the DGFT is all PAN-based importer-exporter code numbers, officially issued by DGFT prior to filing of bills of entry or shipping bills for clearance of goods. Before he files any document for clearance of any goods for export or import, he has got to first of all register his IEC, PAN-based IEC. The ICES will record such details at the customs system from DGFT also, confirmation that yes, this is a genuine IEC. the importers, exporters are also required to open a current account in a bank designated as Category 1 authorized dealer in foreign exchange and register the bank's AD code number for payment of duty or for getting credit of any drawback. Just like the importer-exporter obtains IEC number, the banks also have to obtain an AD code number from Reserve Bank of India if they want to do any transaction, any dealing in foreign exchange. So importers, exporters have got to open an account in such branches only which have the AD code number, and such AD code numbers have got to be connected with their bank account and registered with the customs department as a part of registration, linking with their IEC number. As I explained to you even the previous two sessions, that facilitation measures have been allowed as known as self-assessment scheme. Here, for clearance purpose today, it is all under self-assessment scheme. That is, the importers, exporters, customs brokers have to perform all functions for assessment of shipping bills or bills of entry. That is, what are the assessment functions? Let us understand that. You should be able to understand it fully. One, scrutiny of the invoice. That is import or export invoice, packing list. Prepare the details on the integrated declaration. I explained to you integrated declaration before, for the respective bill of entry or shipping bill. That means first scrutinize the invoice and packing list and then prepare the details on the integrated declaration. Ensure proper classification of the goods as per ITC Harmonized System Code, that is the 8-digit code. And then correctly determine the transaction value under Section 14, which I have already explained to you, and also having regard to the valuation rules as already explained. Then determination of the duty liability has got to be done, taking due note of any duty exemptions or benefits claimed under the different export promotion schemes or applicability of anti-dumping duty. As I have explained, anti-dumping duty is on imported goods where raw material are dumped into the country. And then check whether there are any restrictions or prohibitions on the goods, and if they require any permissions, license, permit, quota, etc., etc., these have got to be checked and verified before you file the integrated declaration through ICAT into the ICES. It basically means you have got to follow all these steps, step by step, completely. Ensure they are totally correct, valid, genuine, as on the date on which you are uploading the integrated declaration. They have to lodge their customs clearance documents at a single point only through the ICAT SWIFT window. They also have to upload digitally signed supporting documents online on ICAT through eSanchit window. That is, first you have got to upload your invoice, packing list, then bill of lading, airway bill, etc. through eSanchit, generate IRN number, add that IRN number on the integrated declaration, and then upload the integrated declaration through SWIFT method. And here, while uploading, even before uploading, all information required for import clearance by the participating government agencies, PGAs, they have been incorporated into the integrated declaration. That is the electronic format of the shipping bill or bill of entry. So those details also you have got to very carefully apply, mention on the ID. The assessment will be done directly by the system without any human interaction if you have correctly done everything. It basically means that these were the functions which were previously performed by the customs officers. We were not required to perform all these operations at all. But now under the self-assessment scheme, you are required to perform these operations. Responsibility is on your head as importers, exporters, and custom brokers. Therefore, you have got to be very careful in complying with these requirements before you ultimately file the integrated declaration onto ICAT to ICES. And once you file all the details correctly, up to date, everything okay, system will check all your details. No custom officer will check the details. It is the system which has been formatted totally, which will check the details. And if all the details are correctly put, then the assessment will be completed by the system. No officer will interact at all. This integrated declaration has got different sections, separate sections on the particulars of the supporting documents which are required to be filed with the bill of entry or shipping bill. There are separate sections in the integrated sections, and you have got to fill in those details as per requirement of the individual consignment. The importer, exporter, or the custom broker can also provide details of the supporting documents using this particular section. That is, again, as I told you, supporting the uploading the document through eSanchit and mentioning the IRN number on the integrated declaration. Then the integrated declaration also captures all the data information which are required for implementation of a system of selective inspection and testing by all partner government agencies, which is crucial for promoting ease of doing business. That means you don't have to go to the respective agencies under the Allied Acts compliance, but declare it on the integrated declaration itself, and the particulars will have to be all relevant particulars, as I've explained to you in chapter number 1. You have got to take care of all those factors, points for the product, the goods which are being cleared by the Customs Department. The risk management system goes through these IDs, integrated declaration. There is a separate module which has been introduced, and it's a very dynamic risk-based selection of consignments. All consignments will not go to officers. As I told you, certain consignments, if the details given by you are provided properly, correctly, as valid on that day, then immediately system itself will complete assessment. And then that particular module, risk management system module, will determine whether the bill of entry should be referred to the partner government agencies for NOC. That means whether NOC is required or not. And what kind of documentary examination physical inspection of goods and testing will be required, will be necessary. This will be determined by the system itself and not interaction of the proper officer. Module will also implement the rules of delegating of authority from PGA to the customs for inspection of goods, for verification of documents and drawal of samples. That means this RMS module which has been created will automatically check the requirements and then refer the documents to the PGAs. The system has been modified to enable simultaneous processing of bill of entry by PGA and the customs. That means if the system completes the procedure, okay, but if any interdiction is required to be done, then it will be done simultaneously by the customs department and the partner government agency, so that there is no wastage of time. There is no time lag. The same matter will appear on the screen of a customs officer at the same time. ICES will also give the same matter to the PGA for that respective consignment if required. There is a simultaneous processing of the declarations which have been uploaded. There is a special method of testing of samples. That is, a separate laboratory module has been created by the risk management system. And here, the customs officer who examines the goods will generate the test memos online itself, record details of the sample, and print the test memos. They will then dispatch the sample drawn from the consignment to the concerned laboratory or referred PGAs. It is not that previously the custom broker was required to perform this function, but today it is the responsibility of the custom officer. He will withdraw the samples, seal it, keep it with him with the test memo, and then PGA's testing people will come, collect the samples and take it for testing purposes. The laboratories can access the test memo details, and when tests or analysis is carried out, they have got to record the details online itself in the system through ICES. And these results and recommendations can be assessed by the customs, and then they can take further necessary action for the consignment. They need not wait for a hard copy of the test memo to come and then go and check it on the hard copy and then record it manually, nothing of that sort. The laboratory will record it online, it will come directly to ICES, ICES will pass it on directly to the customs officer, and immediately customs officer has got to take action. And then shipping bill of entry is referred at the stage of filing and processing by RMS right at the beginning if required, otherwise no. Once the NOC comes to the customs department online, then out of charge or let export order will be given for the bill of entry or shipping bill after the agency enters release or out of scope. The respective agency will either release, give the NOC, or say that this is out of their scope, or give a provisional NOC for that particular consignment. Customs will release the consignment. Customs compliance verification, I've explained to you in a nutshell before. Here, a custom broker will be able to register the goods upon arrival for verification. That is examination, physical examination of the goods through ICEGATE under the Turant custom scheme, even before the duty is paid. All goods are required to be examined for verification of the correctness of description quantity, etc., which have been mentioned in the bill of entry or shipping bill. And the custom officer will have to do all necessary verifications as per the requirement and confirm the completion of the custom compliance verification for that particular document, that particular consignment in the system itself. No interdiction required. Importer, exporter or custom broker online through his computer system will register the consignment at the point where the goods have already arrived. And then the custom officer at that particular point will perform all these functions even before duty has been paid for import. Thereafter, on payment of the duty, the customs automated system will electronically give clearance to the bill of entry or shipping bill. That means out of charge or late export order will be granted by the system itself, because the custom officer has already examined the goods and given his report online. As far as payment of duty is concerned, there is an e-payment of duty concerned. E-payment of customs duty can be made using the computer system through the customs e-payment gateway at IceGate. Now, remember one thing. This can be done only if you have registered the AD code bank details connected with your account at the time of performing the registration at the very first stage. Once you have registered the bank details onto the computer custom system, it is stored in the ICS. Using that registration, you can pay duty here as soon as your self-assessed bill of entry or shipping bill has come onto the computer system and the system says, yes, documents are okay, all details are perfectly in order, then a TR6 challan for payment of custom duty will be generated online itself. It will appear on your screen. And when it appears on the screen, you open your web page by using a highly secure encryption certificate or digital signature. Here, all the details of the bill of entries, shipping bills which have been filed will appear, and the document which has been passed against that particular document number, bill of entry number or shipping bill number, there will be a sign pay. Click on that pay, link that document to your bank account details, and then debit your transaction account to pay through the IceGate. From that pay, link it through IceGate to your account details which you have already registered, bank details you have already registered with the customs department. Just link it and confirm your bank that this payment has got to be made. Your bank will automatically make this payment. This happens within a very few minutes only. No need for going hard copy of demand draft, etc., etc., taking documents here and there and then paying, nothing of that sort. Within a matter of a few minutes, you complete this procedure. No physical copy of TR6 challan is required. You don't have to maintain any of these hard copies. It is all soft copies. Once paid, duty paid TR6 challan will come on your screen. Download it in PDF format and keep it in your record. Thank you.